Oh, yeah. Okay. That's Gene Ammons and Sonny Stitt, if you guessed it right. Congratulate yourself. That's something called Blues Up and Down. I love me some serious jazz. Well, hello out there. How are you doing today? It is the... What date is this? I always get confused when I have to look it up. But it's Tuesday. No, it's not Tuesday. It's Wednesday, the 27th. Okay. I'll get better. You know, I had a whole bunch of things that I wanted to talk about today, and I just informed the engineer that I'll scratch it and instead talk about something that has been weighing heavily on me, especially in this political climate where the president finds himself with his back up against the wall on all kinds of matters, most specifically the economy and the sequester and all of this kind of stuff that they want to involve us in. But I want to move in a slightly different direction today. And I want to talk about when people agree to be managed for an invisible purpose that even they don't know. This is what happens. President Obama is our managed president. The hope when he, you know, broke through all those barriers and whatnot, everybody thought that, oh man, this guy is just unbelievably bright. He is just phenomenal. He is a juggernaut, and we ought to get behind him. I think we have to revise that a bit, because what is emerging more and more is that President Obama's very candidacy was a conduit for many people to various enterprises that they wanted to involve themselves in. And this was a fantastic opportunity to get in on the ground floor. You remember that we talked about the great machine that produced for Obama in a way that no other political machine had ever done so. And in a sense, that is genius. It's genius that they were able to construct that. But it is also, don't miss it, it was also a risk on the part of Obama that he could allow himself to be used because the ends would justify the means. If he allowed himself to be used by these folks who designed this process, we can't pretend that he did, that President Obama actually designed this juggernaut process of producing such an overwhelming vote. He didn't. I'm sure he had input, but you know, the mechanisms were not his. But he was the agency through which they can or could have achieved a lot of things, and they did. They did it to incredible effect. But they owned it. They owned the knowledge of it. They owned the science of it, and they perfected that science on this black president and his black constituency. That created instantly a whole industry, which those folks have gone on now to head up in the private sector. So Barack Obama's candidacy lifted these people out of the realm of possibility into the realm of actuality. This thing actually can work. But the experimentation was done within the context of a black man running to be the first, quote, first black president of the United States, and with an excited electorate just waiting to support him in that effort. But in order to achieve that smoothly, you have to convince people that they're not seeing what they're seeing. So we came away from that first experience thinking that it was Barack Obama who himself was the genius. He was the wizard. He was the creator of this incredible machine. When in actuality, he was lending himself over to this process. It was a gamble, but it was a gamble worth taking. At the same time, you have to give up a lot. These folks would never have had this kind of access to any constituency except the way they got it through Barack Obama. They would never have been able to test the scientific basis for this type of approach to politics had it not been for this particular instance in which a candidate is running for office, highest office in the country, and the machine had to be constructed to do so because he could not win going the regular route. And what they have done very significantly is capitalize and commodify that knowledge. And even Obama doesn't own it right now, although he is the agency through which it has been produced. These folks are so smart that they didn't even want to stick around for part two. They got what they wanted out of part one. And what they got was an opportunity to test an idea, to formulate the science of politics, to take politics into a whole different direction, to set themselves up as singular authorities in this new wave, if you will, new wave way of politics. And therefore, what they got was an opportunity to create for themselves an industry. They're now the captains of that industry, which is very typical in many cases where we find that, you know, I remember, you know, when I was a reporter and editor, it was a guy who fancied himself, you know, the guru of the black community. He wasn't black. He was a Jewish guy who thought very highly of himself. And he would come around the paper and talk to the publisher at the time. And do you know what? He said he was going for his doctorate. And his doctorate was going to be about black politics in Brooklyn. And wanted to be able to do some research, he said. And of course, our publisher, who was not particularly bright, gave him access to all of our records in our morgue. A morgue is just like a library of research material, which I had carefully constructed and put together so that we could have at our hands, at hand, the information we would need when we were writing our stories. We collected it. We created it. And that was all he had to say. Well, sure, I'm sure I'll be able to, yeah, come in and use the morgue anytime you want. And guess what? This guy who didn't know a thing, he didn't know a thing, became almost the guru of black politics in New York City. And he wrote his book. Gave no credit whatsoever, but became the authority on black political history in the city of New York. Similarly, When Obama was running for president for the first time, and this system needed to be constructed, they saw an opportunity. They would never get an opportunity like this, ever. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to invest any kind of money in it themselves, because Obama, they trotted him out. You go out there and you get the money, you bring it back, and we will get this thing together. We think this would work. But the we did not stick around too long. It's no longer a we. The pronouns have changed a bit. And now they are in private industry. They are the gurus, and there will be, as I might have said before, there is a long line of folks now who can't wait to throw money at these experts to help them also win at politics. So the president has facilitated this process, and the very people who started out with him are no longer there. One is at the University of Chicago, where he has set up himself. And of course, you get the chair underwritten. He set up himself as the guru of politics. That's what he's doing. And the other is now the head of what used to be the machine for Obama, has now been spun into this entity where he is in effect functioning as a lobbying group / consulting practice. And you see a lot of people moving away from Obama, because that, in fact, is a reflection of the mentality that he has attracted. And that mentality is, look, this is as good, and it will be as good as it gets for me until the time I change my mind. And this is not about me staying with you and, you know, walking through rough patches with you. We're not doing that. I've got to live. I have things to do. I have other elections coming my way, and I could make a ton of money. So the mentality in that circle is money and power, or conversely, power and money. So Barack Obama himself had commodified the process. And we look at this president today fighting literally by himself. He's fighting by himself. When he looks back for the people who he thinks might be there to have his back, they're not there. They're busy constructing an industry of which they will be captains. And fueled by knowledge gleaned through his agency, he has been the vehicle to open up this new world to them as a brand new political endeavor, a money-making machine. So you have to ask yourself, okay, here's a Harvard-educated man, supposed to be very smart, and I have no doubt that he's smart. But he is in the world of real sharks. He thinks he's a shark. He really does. He thinks he can, he can survive in the shark tank because he's smart. And that is at the root of the opposition that he's getting, because the people who are fighting him know exactly the nature of the beast that they're looking at. They're looking at a bunch of younger people, who are straight out for money and power. They're not there about public service and all that stuff. That's esoteric stuff. They're there to build a reputation in the industry as the gurus in these various endeavors. And that is supposed to be what should pay them, and pay very handsomely. And you look at the people who are, He's selecting the nominee for Treasury Secretary doesn't know a thing about international finance. He didn't even have a year's worth of experience with it. And this is the man he's going to, that's his job. And Obama's facilitating that. Obama facilitated Hillary Clinton, completely unqualified for her job. And not only did he facilitate it, he was there as a convenient prop. Here, look, here's a guy who I consider my buddy, she says. And he would have facilitated for her. She now has an option that she didn't have before. She is uniquely situated to be whatever she wants to be. She wants to run fine. She doesn't want to run fine. Either way, she's going to make a ton of money, and she has already begun to do so. She'll be charging six figures for her speeches, and she'll be writing books, and she could still have the option to run in 2016. And her reputation, which really should have been the first lady to be deposed in a criminal investigation. But instead, he and his administration and his association with her to use it cleverly to build her currency, not his. He's stuck. He is stuck. He can't move. Because they quietly have made it known to him that if he wants to move, it will cost him now. Even though he facilitated their rise, it will cost him. And besides which, they consider this thing over as of term one. Term two is boring. What are you going to do in term two? Because after term two comes, you know, you go into private sector and you play a round of golf and whatnot on the weekends. There's no challenge after term one. Term two is, you know, par for the course. These people are about pioneering. They are about being the gurus and the authorities of the science and the knowledge. This is what has happened historically to black people. The science and the knowledge. We don't understand how valuable these things are. We gladly assist people into acquiring this science and this knowledge. But the constituency that was depending and still is depending on Barack Obama, I'm talking about the African Americans constituency, which is his. It started out anyway, it no longer is the case, but it started out being really important to him. We have expectations that this guy is going to do something. That's not his focus. That's not his focus. And the sooner we get that, the better. Because we will now understand that the imperative is, before he gets out of office, we should have constructed a healthy alternative to what we are experiencing politically. And we have to do it for our very survival. In the end, Barack Obama's candidacy and his election to office would have facilitated a predatory group. They're interested only insofar as what he can bring them and give them access to that they can't ordinarily get. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to a whole bunch of folks. You're going about your job. This is something you want to do. And somebody comes to help. It's, you know, that's how the Catholics fire a priest. They send him somebody to help. They send an assistant priest. And that is the way the Catholics say, all right, you're fired. Because the science is what they're after. The science and the knowledge that they can gain that they cannot get in any other way. And that no other black person has right now. No other black person has that knowledge or the capacity to develop that knowledge about how you just turn this business of politics upside down, the science of political science. Barack Obama is a lost man. What do I mean by that? He is not anchored in himself. He is a managed president who has agreed to be managed. The problem is that he also has agreed that we be managed. We will be managed because there is a great deal of knowledge to be gained about how you manage people in these different areas. How do you manage them as a campaign person? How do you manage them as an administrator? How do you manage their controlling their communities? How do you manage their lives? These are all things about knowledge, specialized knowledge. And in this arena of specialized knowledge, in the Obama administration, there isn't one black person. Not one. He has isolated himself, or he has agreed to be isolated. And so you clearly get the sense that if he really needed to talk to people, he could pick up the phone and they'll come running. You don't see any news articles about Barack Obama meeting with the Black Legislative Caucus. He's not talking to them. We don't know, other than Valerie Jarrett, his trusted friend from Chicago. Other than that, who is around this man who in any remote way intimately knows him and can relate to him and give him some serious advice? He doesn't want it to begin with because he doesn't trust it. He wouldn't trust the advice of black people. Barack Obama would come to Florida and head for two specific areas in Florida. He would go straight down to Miami, where the Cubans are. And when I say the Cubans, these are the sons and daughters of the plantocracy of Cuba. And he knows what they want. They want Castro dead. Could you make him dead in 20 hours? Could you make him dead by next Wednesday? And if you promise to make him dead, we'll support you. And when he leaves there and he zips north to Boca Raton in Palm Beach County, there he will talk with a wealthier community of Jews, and he will be speaking the language they want to hear. Yes, he will support Israel. Yes, Israel has his unconditional support. Now, between Miami and Palm Beach, there's a whole bunch of black folks. But they're not visible to this man. He can't see them. And he doesn't want to interact too much with them because people may become suspicious. He's too close to those people. We can't trust him. He is, after all, different because he has a Harvard degree and his mother was a European American woman. We're in trouble because we keep hoping, we keep thinking that we just need to extend ourselves a little bit more. We just need to suffer a little longer and things will be different. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to be that way. This president has a specific purpose. If he didn't come into office with it, it certainly was given to him when he came into office. And his purpose was like David Dinkins. the mayor of the city of New York that hardly anybody remembers anymore. He is a transitional figure. He is the person who is just going to be a blip on the screen because the powers that be are reorganizing themselves. They're realigning themselves to the new or the burgeoning new realities of the United States and the world community. They misjudged it and they thought they had a handle on it, but they need more time. They need more time. And this president, whether he believes it or not, he is facilitating that program through his managers, who are no longer on the premises. They're taking care of their own lives, being expert at black folks. And they would lend him their knowledge from time to time. Of course, they'll get paid. But Obama's job is simply to be a kind of continuity, if you will. Nothing spectacular. He's already achieved that. They already gave him that. They gave him victory the first time, and that's all he needs to have. He needs not have anything else. And that's why there's been no movement for 4 years. He is not going to be given any glory. He will have nothing extraordinary to boast about when he leaves. There will be no grand legacy other than the fact that he was the nation's first black president. He is there simply to facilitate a transition while the country gets used to a number of things, chief among them the shift in demographics and the shift in the geopolitical sense, that the world community is adjusting its attitude, because before the United States used to wreak all kinds of havoc and fear and trepidation and whatnot in people, and they don't longer do that. They know what we are made of. And whatever it is we think we have as power to overwhelm them, they're willing to even face that. So that has changed. So what are we to do? We've got to start talking loudly about this. And we have to bring it to his attention. Maybe he doesn't even know. Maybe he's not even conscious of it. That if it is in play somewhere, that he would give up this community, this constituency, or these constituencies that have brought him victory. I'm talking about African Americans, Latinos, Asians, the new people. If it is that he has to just simply maintain them, bring them close enough, but not directly into, not too close, to adjust to the new demographics, they're making the adjustments. This idea that they're going to have to make steep cuts in social programs, so that's an adjustment. Don't mistake it for anything else. Those are the adjustments. There was a time in the South Bronx where the preferred method of controlling the community was arson. Literally, they burned people out of the South Bronx. Hired thugs and arsonists, and they just burned the buildings down because those communities were not emptying fast enough. So they just, a huge campaign of arson in Harlem as well. This is what's going on. There is a shift going on. They're not exactly in control of all of it at the moment because it is a dynamic thing. It's changing. But soon enough, they'll have a handle on it. And they will, by that time, have reallocated resources. They would have restructured society and how it is going to be governed. They would have repositioned themselves in terms of power and authority. And they would have reorganized the strategic resources of the society to assure that they, at least, maybe alone, but predominantly they, would have 100% control of those things. So if we think that we're looking at, you know, budget woes and, you know, this side says this and the Republicans say that and the Democrats, no, it's a realignment. Understand what's going on. It's a realignment in the face of the new demographic reality of the United States. And in this way, both the people on the progressive Obama team, I'm using the word loosely, and those on the conservative team, they all agree. Even this black president, he's actually going to agree to make steep cuts to his own folks. He's going to do it. They all agree this is what has to be done. So don't be surprised when in fact it is done. We should get over the idea that, you know, it is embarrassing to talk about these things out in the open. Well, I don't think it's embarrassing at all. I think it is necessary. I don't think we're allowed enough. And apart from talking, I think we need to get more into doing, because the writing is on the wall. We better get busy constructing a healthy alternative to what's coming down the pike. Because this black president will be the agent, the designated agent, to inflict that level of pain. We will tolerate it and we will suffer because we have emotional problems about confronting a black man. It's already calculated. Which is why it makes perfect sense to have a black president at this time. And in as much as they could construct the wherewithal to bring this about, they now have the science and the knowledge to bring it about at any time they wish and under any conditions that prevail. They have the science and the knowledge. So they don't need, it's not a big deal anymore to create another phenomenon. They have yielded that science and that knowledge from Barack Obama's historic run. So what are you thinking out there? I'll take a break and come back to your thoughts and comments at 888-874-4888, right after this. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, at your service at prn.fm, the number 888-874-4888. I thought about this because I'd been noticing, you know, things happening in different pockets. And then, of course, you have to piece them together. And I saw the pieces coming together. And then it made me think very differently about Barack Obama. Very, very differently. Is he that naive or is he that calculating? How could he not understand that he is being used in a not so nice way? You know, it is a very discomforting fact, but I think it is absolutely fact. Our community is going through this period in which the experimentation has already occurred. They've gotten the wherewithal, the information, the science, the knowledge of how to manage us. How to manage us. Because they're managing him. He doesn't strike me as a man with his own mind, making his own decisions. He comes across more as a person who is very, very heavily managed. And it is regrettable. Frankly, I think if you're in office for 5 minutes, it ought to show. you do your thing for 5 minutes, all 5 minutes. Ed from New Jersey, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello.
Always a pleasure to listen to your show.
Thank you.
And You know, while listening to you over the past several months, I would say, it really appears that this show was a big enlightening aha moment to me, because it seems like a lot of the direction that you've been taking and, you know, the topics of your shows, and I think you have that insightfulness that you just know something's amiss, and it culminated today, I think, because I think you've really hit the nail on the head with what's going on and how it was essentially all engineered. And we're witnessing it now play out on the, you know, mainstream media, if you will, mm-hmm. with these different appointments that make really no sense and don't have anything to do with helping the American public. Because, quite frankly, how really could it when there's so much questions about these appointees that are just really standing in the way of getting anything done to begin with? So your show today really, you know, just brought it all together after several months, like I said, of listening, and it seemed to really, you know, sum everything up. So I just wanted to comment on that.
It doesn't make you feel uneasy as well?
Absolutely, and I've felt uneasy during the majority of this 5 years, only because, you know, I watched the country go towards this president for everything that he was supposed to represent. And it seemed like early on you saw a lot of people drop out of the cabinet, and just a lot of the blame game, a lot of the word tactics. And I started to see very early on that, you know, there was something not right here. So, you know, once, you know, I hooked up with your show and a lot on the PRN family, it seemed like there was people that sided with that feeling, and I think that a lot of us that are looking for answers that are quite confused would really benefit from today's show, because it really does seem like that absolutely is what's going on, and I think it was engineered, and it just speaks for itself. You know, what more evidence does one need? So I think you really were able to use your intelligence and insight and, you know, for the best outcome explaining this whole catastrophic, you know, situation that the country is really up against. It's not going to benefit anyone.
That's the thing. It's a small predatory circle.
Yep.
And they're all about money and power. All about money and power. I mean, we saw that the Republicans were pushing on Jack Lew, for example. Here's a guy, this is the president, all right? You want to choose somebody for Treasury Secretary, okay. It doesn't bother you that while the country is bailing out the bank that he was working for, he had no problem taking almost $1 million as a bonus?
Exactly.
It doesn't bother you that he has all these investments overseas in the Cayman Islands. These things, you know, and again, the qualifications. The guy's just not qualified for the job. He just isn't.
You know, one last thing from my end, Eutrice, if I may. But
sure.
It sort of also ties in with how a lot of people are even looking at Romney these days, because it seemed early on with him that he wasn't even interested. He really didn't seem to exude a level of interest to even want the position, and it seemed like that was the case very early on. So you have to then wonder if this wasn't part of that engineering to just facilitate
Maybe the Republicans had their version of it.
Your mind can go all over with this kind of topic, but I think, again, you know, keeping it firmly on the, you know, level-headed, I think exactly what you said is what has transpired, and there's not much I think that can be done.
Well, thank you very much, Ed, for calling in and contributing your thoughts today. Christine, you're joining us. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
I have a couple of things. I'm not sure I understand what you were referring to when you were saying that the testing that people behind him constructed this and regarding the science and knowledge of, anyway, that doesn't matter because I want to start out by saying this. A little over a year ago, I was at a small gathering and we were having political discussion. Anyway, and I said to the person I was speaking to, because I had voted for President Obama for the first time, and we were just talking, and he was expressing to me how completely disappointed he was and how, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I said to him, he's actually doing what he was selected and elected to do. And he kind of looked at me in a, you know, puzzled way, and I said, well, because a lot, and I really believe this, and I said this after 2 years of his first term, I started noticing this. There was a lot that was projected onto this person, onto Barack Obama, by people in general, and not only in this country, but in Europe as well, because they saw this extremely charismatic person, truly bright. I think he is really a very bright person. And a very likable person. He's very naturally likable, okay? It's not just that you want to have a beer with him, which is what a lot of people had said about George Bush, if you recall, right? I mean, no, seriously,
sure,
he really
sure,
is.
Sure.
He's a very likable man. It's very hard to, even when I watch him now, in spite of the decisions that he's taken, and I have a totally different view of him, I mean, I just find it very difficult. I don't feel rancor toward this person. There's something about him that's very enticing, you know? Anyway, putting that aside, which is really superficial, I wanted to say that I said to this person at the party, I said, you know, I said, he is doing what he was put in there to do. And he kind of looked at me. I said, if you really think about it, that's what he's doing. And he's actually true to what he decided to take on, if he, you know, decided to accept the run for president, because he knew that he would have to fulfill certain expectations. And looking back on it now, and looking even before his presidency during the Bush horror of 8 years, and looking at the financial crisis that has been in place since before Obama, of course, was elected, it really makes a lot of sense, because a lot of the money that went to Barack Obama before that came from Wall Street. And now I use that term loosely, meaning the major investment banks and all of the fraud that a lot of these really wealthy people wanted to put into place. It is an ideology that basically, I mean, it's a handful of multinational bankers, if you will, that are based here and in London, and I'm not being redundant. Basically, they thought that, you know what, a woman might be a good president, but in this particular case, we have a gem on our hands because we have a particular thing that we want to push across these populations. And he is the perfect person to do it in a country such as the United States, because there isn't a more powerful country or more powerful person, seemingly, than the president of the United States. And so he, I think, is really doing what he was expected to do. And if you look at the decisions that he has made, and even the people he has appointed, which is really puzzling, okay, he is following that exact pattern. I mean, even if you go back and look at the so-called health care reform bill, he basically did not participate in the construction of that bill at all. It was Rahm Emanuel, who is now mayor of Chicago. Is that right? He's mayor.
Right.
He was the one who was behind closed doors with insurance companies, not even medical personnel, constructing
and
this
insurance
bill.
Insurance companies and Hillary Clinton. Don't forget,
Hillary Clinton was functioning
almost like a co-president of the United States.
I didn't know that she participated in the behind the scenes. But nevertheless, I mean, he constructed this, and the idea, just as a side comment, that this country, a country such as this country, regardless of what position you might take, some people believe in private, you know, socialized, whatever position it is, it's not even the point. The idea that you would not permit a single payer in a country larger like this, where people are, you know, function on their own, I mean, it's just beyond belief that you would not fight for something like this. And Barack Obama did not fight for this at all. He just didn't. I mean, he was never there in it, you know. And so a lot of this, and even a lot of the positive thing that the Democrats, or the so-called, you know, the people who supported him, who are basically Democratic shills in my mind at this point, supported and saying, well, it's a way to go. It's just beyond belief. On the one hand, that they were saying that they were against the mandate, and on the other hand, as soon as it was passed, they totally supported it. I mean, the point is that he is doing what he was selected and then elected to do.
I agree. Thank you so much, Christine. We have so many other callers calling in. I may extend this to tomorrow because we want to accommodate this. This is a very serious discussion that we're having, and we ought to give it the room it deserves. So I want to thank you for bearing with me today, and hopefully we join each other tomorrow at the same time. Tell a friend, and let's grow this company. It's coming up next. It's Jack Rasmus with Alternative Visions. Take care.